Which brings us to agenda item number 9, Mr. James Tibbs. Mr. Madden.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission. Actually, you still got it. Now I would like to direct your attention to a private pier with its own unique suite of issues. Mr. James E. Tibbs is requesting authorization to construct a 262-foot long by 6-foot wide private non-commercial timber pier extending 187 feet channel water mean low water with a 35-foot long by 8-foot wide L-head and a 48-foot long catwalk and uncovered boat lift adjacent to his property situated along Palmer Cove in Northumberland County. The project is protested by the oyster ground leaseholder on which the pier is proposed and an adjacent oyster ground leaseholder. We're on the northern neck. Could you shut the lights off? It might be a little bit easier if you douse the lights for a minute. Thanks. Here we are up on Palmer Cove. We're up at the northern end of Northumberland County. This is Palmer Cove. It leads to the south Yocomico River, and then we're out into the Potomac. Mr. Headley's property is in this location right here, and Mr. Tibbs' property is here, and as you can see directly, Mr. Headley's property is here, Mr. Headley's lease is here, and Mrs. Thakarchuk, and I'll hope I get that right every time, her lease is right in this location to the right of the Tibbs property. If you could bring the lights up again. Thank you. Mr. Tibbs owns a riparian property with 50 feet of frontage along Palmer Cove. I showed the arrow there in a moment, right there. It's an embayment of the South Yocomico River in Northumberland County. Mr. Tibbs would like to exercise his riparian right to construct a private, non-commercial, 262-foot long by 6-foot wide pier on this cove, and he would also like to construct a 280-square-foot L-head, an uncovered boat lift, and a 48-foot long catwalk. There's Mr. Tibbs' property. Pier would go out in this location. I pointed out here Mrs. Spruill or Ms. Spruill. Ms. Spruill has been in favor of Mr. Tibbs' efforts throughout the entire permit process. In 2015, when we first opened up the file on this project, the pier was first proposed to Mr. Headley and who's the oyster ground leaseholder. He approved the one that you see here. This shows a pier which is perpendicular to the shoreline, goes right straight out. There's no angling of the structure. It included a boat lift, and mooring piles, and an L-head. Note it at this time that it only goes to 3 feet 1 inch at mean low water. He barely has enough water to keep his boat afloat. He's not expecting to go out in anything deeper than he absolutely has to go. On July 18th, 2017, staff received revised drawings depicting a 265-foot long pier extending 180 feet channelward of mean low water. The new pier was equipped with a catwalk. Instead of the agreed-upon roughly perpendicular shore orientation, the new pier angled to the north, as you can see on the picture on the wall there. Mr. Tibbs' rationale for revising the pier was to allow Mrs. Spruill, the adjacent property owner who I pointed out a moment ago, more room for her to build a future pier on lot number 7. That's this lot right here. In addition, the new catwalk and mooring at the end of the pier would make the pier more serviceable. So instead of the original alignment, which was perpendicular, roughly perpendicular to the shoreline, which was depicted here on the drawing, he's canting it to the right, going right straight out. Pursuant to Section 28.2.1205, subsection D of the Code of Virginia, Mr. Headley and Mrs. Zarachuk were notified of the revised pier proposal, the one you see here. In his letter dated August 2, 2017, Mr. Headley remarked, while he approved the December 2, 2015 alignment, which is right here, he believed that it was not in his best interest to approve the revised alignment. In her August 1, 2017 protest, Ms. Zarachuk noted that the pier was too long and that would encroach into her oyster ground. As the code requires, Mr. Headley subsequently provided the necessary proof that the ground was productive. Ms. Zarachuk, unfortunately, did not provide such data. In a follow-up site visit, commission staff determined that the Headley lease along the revised alignment had evidence of oyster strike. In addition, the substrate along the alignment was determined to be suitable for oyster propagation. During that site visit, I accompanied the engineering and surveying division. What we did is we truthed that corner of the pier and this section right down there. And so we plotted that, and we determined beyond a doubt that the pier did not encroach directly on Mrs. Zarachuk's lease. It was in Mr. Headley's lease. The ground was productive for it. It had productive, it had strike, and it had clay bottom, good hard clay bottom. At that time, I indicated to Mr. Tibbs a possible way to solve the problem would be to try and reconfigure the pier so that it would get into as much of Mr. Headley's approved alignment as possible, while still enabling Mr. Tibbs to get out to the navigable water. And as you can see, he's only at 3 feet. So this is the compromise that Mr. Tibbs came up with. This is the current, what's on board here with us. This is one we received. As you can see, it takes the first 65 feet of the pier, then it angles off into this direction. Again, it's to enable Ms. Spruill to utilize this area to construct a future pier. In spite of the attempts by the compromise by Mr. Tibbs, the oyster ground leaseholders did not approve of the revised alignment. We contacted them, and the letters are in your packet. One thing Mr. Tibbs proposed to staff prior to this hearing was that he would be willing to take the what I highlighted here. We discussed this on the phone. He'd be willing to have strike the two mooring piles, outboard mooring piles here that I noted, and the L head. He'd still like to keep the L head and the uncovered boat lift. Get rid of the catwalk and the outboard mooring piles. While Mr. Tibbs has been very cooperative during this process, he's expressed an interest in maintaining an alignment like that. And Mr. Tibbs is prepared to provide his own rationale for that and to develop that topic a little bit. But what we need to do, what staff felt we needed to do, was to provide some orientation which would have the least impact on Mr. Headley's pier. Mr. Headley's oyster ground. So what we think would be in the form of a staff recommendation would be as follows. Weighing the interests of riparian property owners against those of the oyster ground leaseholder is not without its challenges. Section 28.2.1205, Section D of the Code of Virginia specifies that a permit is required for the placement of any pier structure measuring 100 feet or more length from mean low water that traverses commercially productive oyster ground or clamming grounds, as defined by Section 28.2.630 of the Code of Virginia. The code further states that the staff shall issue a permit and may reasonably prescribe the design and location of the pier for the sole purpose of minimizing the adverse impacts on such clamming grounds. This represents our efforts right here. Staff believes that in this case, the solution that is most in keeping with the intent of Section 28.2.1205, subsection D of the Code of Virginia is to authorize the construction of the 6-foot wide pier. That would extend 187 feet from mean low water with only two mooring piles, but without the L-head and lift Mr. Tibbs has requested. The pier should additionally follow the alignment depicted on the November 15, 2007 project drawings, which is noted here. This would present the least encroachment over the productive Headley lease while affording Mr. Tibbs the ability to exercise his riparian right to reach navigable water within Palmer Cove while preserving navigable access to the cove by the owners of lot number 7. With that, I will rest and take any questions that you might have concerning this project.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Neal?
Just a question. So you're making just a straight pier, a narrow pier, without any addition at the end, but you're still allowing pylons so he can tie his boat up.
Yes.
So we have a boat sitting there in the water, but you're not allowing an open boat lift. Why?
Because we're trying to take as a conservative posture as possible. We believe that what we should be doing is to have the least encroachment over Mr. Headley's lease.
Okay. Back to my question. How is having an open boat lift there more encroachment than having a boat sitting in the water there?
Well, that would be less structure over the water. It would be less structure over the water. The boat lift is an encroachment and would be, and by not allowing it, it would be that much less encroachment into the Headley lease.
I have a pier, and I have a boat lift that's on two pylons out there. And if I have my boat sitting in the water, it's every bit as more as an encroachment as having the boat lifted out of the water. So I'm not seeing where the boat lift causes more encroachment than a boat sitting in the water.
Well, that's the decision that's before the commission.
I'm just not seeing the geometry of it.
Yeah, what we got to do is staff feels that we are in a position, and in trying to adhere to this code section, try to be as conservative as absolutely possible. And frankly, that's as narrow a profile as Mr. Tibbs can present to Mr. Headley's lease. That's a pipe stem with two mooring piles. That's as narrow a definition that we can bring them right down to.
Mr. Ballard?
As you've made that narrow profile, that would be statutorily approved, correct?
If it were not protested by the oyster ground leaseholder, it kicks us into this other section of the code.
Okay.
Oh, let me
Jeff, go right ahead.
I just want to comment on that. Once we get on the oyster ground and the leaseholder objects, it requires a permit, so it's not authorized by statute. So this pier, in any shape or form, would not be authorized by statute because it's on the oyster ground that's productive. So it requires a permit.
Protested and productive. We have another section of the code we have to wrestle with, which brings all these issues in.
Mr. Zeter,
follow up on Dr. Neal's question: is in your definition, with your configuration there, the fact that the boat is sitting there in the water, is the boat an encroachment on that land, on the the land?
Well, considering that the Marine Resources Commission, the state-owned submerged lands includes encroachments over the water and aerial crossings, submerged crossings, piers. That boat is over state-owned submerged land. So I would say yes, and of course you have counsel to approach, but I would say, yeah, the boat would. We don't regulate that, but yeah.
All right, following up on his question then, so what's the difference between putting a pile in there where you can put a lift and let the boat sit there?
It has to do with the structure. We feel that in order to, as my esteemed chief would say, we're trying to limit the encroachment to the greatest extent possible.
How are you doing it?
How are we doing that? By putting
the
smallest structure over that water that we can. And a six-foot-wide pier is and then mooring piles and the boat. No other additional structure is going to impact that than is absolutely necessary.
Well, let me follow up on it. Would you agree that if you lift the boat out of the water, that would enhance the benefit to the oyster ground below it versus leaving the water boat in the water?
Let me jump in here, and I think Jeff's absolutely right.
Let's have phone a friend here.
of the reasons for not recommending the lift. And I want to add to that, yes, the boat would take up that same area, whether it's in the lift or it's set in the water. But we have two competing issues here. We have the right to build a pier by the riparian owner and the right to grow oysters based on the lease that's granted by this commission in the state of Virginia, guaranteeing them the right to grow and propagate those oysters and protecting that right based on that lease. And so we have this very elaborate code that addresses how we deal with piers and what we can allow once you get on a private lease. And so in this case, yeah, while the boat might be an encroachment, just like the lift would be, that boat's not going to always be there. So in theory, there might be oysters under that boat. When the boat's gone, Mr. Headley could go in there and harvest his oysters. When that lift's there, I don't think he can get in there and harvest his oysters. So there is some fundamental theoretical difference, I think, as well as the sort of, I think, legal responsibility we have to protect the interests of the oyster leaseholder based on the fact that we've given them a lease. But we've got to recognize some right of the riparian owner to build a pier. And the code says, we shall grant him a permit, but what we shall do is limit the amount of the impact on the oyster ground, and that's what staff's attempted to do here.
That's what it says. Mrs. Lusk.
I have a few questions about the historical process here. Maybe I missed it. So the original pier that was proposed was not protested by Mr. Headley. Was it protested at all? Was it protested at all?
No.
And then Mr. Tibbs changed the drawing just on his own. So because did Mrs. Is it Mrs. Sproles?
Sproles is a property owner.
Right. Did she protest?
No.
Or request a change in the design?
The project from the beginning.
So there wouldn't be an issue with the pier as it was originally proposed?
That, as originally proposed, if the pier was not objected by the oyster ground leaseholder, it would have satisfied the statutory exemption because the protest is what moves it off into this other parallel orbit. And before we go any further, I do have a letter of support. I'm sorry, I forgot that. That's a letter of support to a neighbor. So once the project is protested by the oyster ground leaseholder, it goes into this other code section. If it was as depicted in the drawings, if it never changed from that, the oyster ground leaseholder was in favor of the alignment. The adjacent property owner had no concern about it. That would have qualified for exemption from the code and would not have required a permit.
Mr. Ballard.
Do you happen to have a graphic showing the piers and the oyster leases? I thought I saw a lease map at one point.
There, yes. And there are a couple more slides. Yeah, this is, that is a neighbor, but it is, that's not Ms. Zarachuk. I think Ms. Zarachuk's property, Mr. Tibbs could tell you exactly where that is, but I think her property is around the corner here. I have some ground shots, too, if it'll help and give you some orientation. There. This is a neighbor's boathouse. The construction of that boathouse kind of shifted all the piers a little bit to the right. That was not protested. That was is satisfied the statutory exemption. That was, so that was under a different code section, and that was fine.
So can you go back to the leases?
Yep. That one.
And is there a way to just to, maybe with the mouse show us where the proposed is? I think it was on the corner of the
pier.
Zaka.
It's a red arrow.
Yeah. The pier's going to come out right out this way.
Okay.
Right in this and right in this area right in here. But it's not going to stray into Mrs. Zarachuk.
And can you show us where it was proposed originally?
Ma'am?
Can you show where it was proposed, the first one?
It's going to come from this location. If you want me to, well, let me show it to you here. It's going to go do one of these. It's going to come out here about 65 feet and then angle off in this direction. But the L-head lifts any pilings will not be in a Ms. Zarachuk's lease.
You have a further question?
No, I think I'm just trying to understand. There was a change in the pier, even though no one asked for it.
There was a change
okay.
in the pier.
I understand.
Yes, it was going shore, perpendicular, and now it's going to go off a little
right.
bit, but it's still all going to be on Headley.
Okay.
Mr. Senior.
Why didn't you just go straight out there a little bit further? I mean, you know, that this, the second the plan now, he goes out a few more feet, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just go straight?
Well, one of the reasons is that, and Mr. Tibbs is here to explain that, he wanted to ensure that Ms. Spruill would be able, if he went straight out, he'd be right in front of Mrs. Spruill's property. And what he wanted to do was to angle it off in a direction to enable the future owner, because there's no houses, there's not a house here nor here, to enable the owners of lot number 7 to be able to utilize this shoreline to get a pier going out into 3 feet of water.
Wait, isn't Mrs. Spruill on both sides of that property?
Yes, she is.
And the way that he went to the right just goes up, what is it, lot 3? No, it's 5?
This is lot 5.
5. And he just, like, goes to the right of that. Is there a pier on lot 5?
No, sir.
If he went straight out, what is the length of the pier now? 200 what?
185 feet.
So if he went out straight 185 feet, are you telling us that Mr. What's the guy's Hadley would not protest that?
He did not protest that original alignment. In fact, he came and cleared off his oysters from that original alignment.
Did Mrs. Spruill ask Mr. Tibbs to move it to the right?
I don't have knowledge of that. You'd have to ask Mr. Tibbs that.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Other questions? Mr.
I guess this is a legal question. We shall issue a permit for a pier. So we have to issue a permit for a pier, and we're trying to disrupt the oyster lease as minimal as possible. Is there how we have to issue a permit, but what are the criteria? I mean, is it to navigable depth? Is it to a certain depth? I mean, what is the...
So, generally, riparian owners have the right to wharf out to navigable waters. So, I think that that's the purpose of this, is to get to navigable or be able to get
What's
his
What's the definition of navigable waters?
Oh, you don't want to get into that.
No, please
Basic,
don't.
Yeah, it's very, very complicated. But basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is this pier is designed so that he can put his boat in the water and get it out to where he can then navigate.
His boat currently has sufficient draft to be able to ingress and egress to that pier in 3 feet of water, mean low water. He'll have to tilt the engine up, but my understanding is that Mr. Tibbs will be able to get to that pier if it goes out to 3 feet of water.
Okay. If I'm assuming he's doing this because he can't take his boat all the way to the from the shore. Yeah. So that's what it means to wharf out to navigable waters, is to be able to get to a point where you can put your boat in and start to navigate.
So we shall
in this context
a permit out to 3 feet.
It says shall be issued for placement of any private pier measuring 100 or more feet in length from mean low water mark, which is used for non-commercial purposes, and that traverses commercially productive oyster or clam ground, provided that the pier does not extend beyond the navigation line, which is set by the Army Corps of Engineers. I'm sure you guys have already mapped that out. It has not actually happened.
It's easy to get wrapped around the axle over this particular issue of riparian rights, property owners,
right, but
piers, and oyster leases. But one thing I want to point out here is that 100 foot is significant, too. If this property owner only wanted to build up to 100 feet, even though it was on a productive lease, they would qualify for the statutory authorization to have the pier consistent with the dimensions and configuration that's allowed by code. Mm-hmm. Once it goes beyond 100 feet, then the code requires the commission to, while it issue a permit, it's to limit the encroachment on the lease. I think we could make it shorter, angle it one way or the other. Required to be on a different spot on the property.
Tony, let me just correct you really quick, because it doesn't require minimization. It says the permit may reasonably prescribe design and location for the pier for the sole purpose of minimizing.
Right.
So you're not required to minimize.
Right.
The only conditions that you can put on this permit that you are required to issue are conditions that would minimize impact on the oyster ground. So just to clarify that little bit, the point about the riparian rights is that is the purpose of this statute. And that is why, you know, piers less than 100 feet are automatically authorized, is because of those riparian rights.
Is that clear? What if I got a 60-foot boat that drafts 6 foot? Did you allow me to come out 500 feet?
We might, but I don't know what other factors might be affected by going out that far and whether or not it would be acceptable. And I don't think every property is configured such that every boat can get there. So you might have a boat that's bigger than the property can accommodate, even though you've got some riparian rights to get out a certain distance. You may not be able to go that far in every case. And that's what we would have to judge.
Mr. Ballard.
So am I correct in thinking that 100 feet and some other parameters, width probably, and no matter whether it's objected, no matter whether it's over an oyster ground, it's going to be approved if it's less than 100 feet. Since this is more than 100 feet and possibly has some other parameters at the end of it, it allows it to be protested and open it up to a public interest review, which is why we're here. Okay.
Got it.
So when we do that, we take into account other things like at the end of the pier and this idea of extended property lines and other factors that normally wouldn't factor in if it's less than 100 feet.
Well, we get into the idea of, can we configure it differently? Can we angle it differently? Can we do something to lessen the impact on the oyster ground? It might be really productive in this spot, but if we move it over here to the left 50 feet, it's not so productive. You know, those are the types of things that I think we as a staff would take into account in trying to lessen that impact.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, I think we're saying the same thing. This is a limited public interest review. This is not the same as other encroachments on Sebaquius Bottom. You shall issue the permit, and the only conditions that you can place are to minimize the impact on the productive oyster ground. So if that means shortening, changing the impact, you can do that.
I've got another question.
Mr. Zeter.
I mean, on that configuration, how's Mr. Headley supposed to get on his lease out to his land? I mean, it looks to me like that pier goes all the way to the other lease land. The way things configured right now, I mean, right there, it goes all the way up to that other corner. That's somebody else's land up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does he supposed to get out and oyster his land if that pier cuts clear across all his land?
That's what we're trying to limit it.
Yeah.
But it's open water. Mr. Headley could sail across.
Could navigate through here.
Mr. Zarchek's
go this
lease
way.
To get to his lease that's in closer to shore. I mean, so he can get to it. He's not limited. He's not restricted from going over across by boat the neighbor's lease to get to his lease.
And all of that oyster work is in less than 3 feet of water.
Is Mrs. Sproul here?
I didn't hear that.
Is Mrs. Sproul here?
No, not that I know of, sir.
Further questions, Mr. Cedar?
No, thanks.
Mrs. Everett.
So Mr. Headley's August letter says that he, like the original, disapproved of the revised application. Is that revised application reflective of the current staff recommendation? Or that's a
well,
prior
it's
question?
Kind of a hybrid. This is the one that Mr. Headley approved. This was
original
perpendicular shoreline.
Okay.
This was fit all the statutory authorizations, but this is the last revision. And what we did is it was a compromise to use as much of the original alignment as Mr. Tibbs thought would be appropriate, and then to come off at an angle. Again, to preserve some area for Ms. Sproul to get in and out of.
And is Mr. Headley okay with this?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, he wants to go back to the original, as does the other oyster ground leaseholder. He wants to go back to that perpendicular alignment that's roughly depicted here. There's an L head over here on that design, and there is also a lift out.
Okay.
But it only goes out to a foot and a half of water.
So Zacherchek and Headley are not happy with staff recommendations.
They are not happy with this at all, no.
Any other questions? I think we need to hear from the applicant. Mr. Tibbs, please come forward, sir. Let me swear you in. Let me swear you both in, since you're both going to testify. Please raise your right hands. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, we do.
Please state your names for the record.
My name is James Tibbs.
And I'm his wife, Linda Tibbs. Thank
welcome.
You.
Well, you've heard the discussion at this point.
Yeah.
How did we get to this position, I think, is question number one.
It's a big spider web, and I've been trying to get it straight for 2.5 years, I guess. There's a little more to this than what was said here. Could somebody draw up that picture of the Blaskin's boat?
Yes, sir.
The view from my lot?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I'm going to start off reading what I wrote, and I'm trying to stop and point out some things that, you know, that weren't discussed. I drew up a contract on February the 8th of 2016 with Mr. Headley to remove his oysters out of my original pier's pathway before I could construct my original pier. We agreed he would have until 7/1/17, which was last summer, to get his oysters up. I never told or contacted Mr. Headley anymore after that. I gave him till then to get the oysters out of the way of the original pier. I didn't tell him to get them up any time earlier, and I think that may be an issue later by the protesters. While we waited this time period for Mr. Headley to remove his oysters, our neighbor, Mr. Roblowski, who, if you look at that, where's your mouth? He owns this boat shed and pier right there. While we were waiting for Mr. Headley to remove his oysters to run our pier straight out, Mr. Roblowski who is two lots over from our lot, got his pier permit and started with his maximum size pier, boat shed with lifts, all of which Mr. Headley approved. I understood that Mr. Roblowski was going to angle his pier more outward, away from our lot. And Mrs. Spruill, who's the lot between me and that pier, Roblowski. We thought he was going to move it, swing his pier outward more before he built it. And when he moved it back towards us, angled it back in, it cut off the area for my neighbor, Mrs. Spruill, to put a pier out in the water. So last year in February, our pier builder contacted us and explained to us that if we went forward with our original plans to build our approved pier, it would cut off our neighbor, Mrs. Spruill. We contacted Jeff Madden to see how we could correct this problem. Jeff met me and my pier builder at the lot and suggested that the only way to correct this problem would be to ask our neighbor, Mrs. Spruill, to the right of us, for permission to cross, to move our pier more to the right, thereby giving her, she owns this lot where that tall grass is, we own the cut grass, Mrs. Spruill owns this one. By moving our pier to the right instead of straight forward, it gives her right to repairing rights to her other property. She signed this agreement and has no problems with it. I've spent a lot of time and money on pier plans trying to satisfy Mr. Headley. This has cost us an approximate 2.5 years of a delay in building our retirement home. We need a suitable pier before we will build on this lot. Our pier's length is required to get to 3 feet of navigable water. 75 feet of this pier is over a grass tidal wetland. We are asking for one boat lift and a 280 square foot platform, which is less than the maximum 400 square foot allowed. We are asking for a boat lift because of my health problems. Both of my shoulders have torn rotator cuffs, one of which is in need of replacement. I no longer can wind a boat on a trailer. Our building lot is shaped like a pie. It is only 50 feet wide at the water. It's very wide on the opposite end, the road end. Northumberland County has a side yard requirement that will require us to build our house 300 feet from the water's edge. This distance and the pier's length, you're looking at 562 feet from the back of our house to the end of this pier. This is the reason for this platform request, so that we can run a golf cart and be able to turn it around at the end of this pier. I have submitted two separate redesigned pier alignments to Mr. Headley, both of which he refused to approve. On September 21st, 2017, Jeff Madden and two other VMRC employees surveyed Oyster Lease and determined our new pier proposals were not in Mrs. Zucker Chuck's oyster shore. If you look at the water depth on this thing, if you'll look at all that water depth, I mean, you really don't hit 2 feet of water until you get to this.
This is the original at 1.5.
Yeah, it's only 1.5 at the end of that original.
So the first pier was not long enough to get into navigable water.
And if we extend the length of that old pier, it would even make Mrs. Spruill's problem even worse. But if you look at the water depth, I mean, I don't see any, I don't know much about oyster hay. They harvest them, but I would think that most of that water, he can't even harvest orchards in less than 2 feet of water. I mean, you're taking a chance. If you put oysters in that gradual of a decline in water, if you put them in less than 2 feet of water in the wintertime, I've seen wind blow water clean out of that cove to the end of my pier, and the oysters would freeze, you know, being exposed on top of the mud bottom. But we're asking VMRC to approve either of the two plans that we have submitted to VMRC. One we prefer, which is this straight one. It would allow Mr. Headley, because we would abandon this one, it would allow Mr. Headley to get full access It would allow him more access to that area to harvest his oysters. We would be abandoning the original pier. What else? Do you have anything you'd like to say?
The only other thing I want to say is that I don't know if Chet described this area here with Mrs. Sproul's property on lot 7. You notice there's a pond here. There is a dike, or what you may call a dike. She does not have a lot of room along this way for a pier. I mean, you're looking at almost a zigzag now because of Roblosky's pier up top. But we're trying to, again, appease her desire eventually to put a pier in as well. We're willing to give her repairing rights into ours if necessary. And she's agreed, obviously, to give it to us up here. But
the whole thing is we're trying to help our neighbor. She's been a very nice lady. She's an elderly lady, and unfortunately she couldn't come today. She wanted to, but she had other things to do. I don't want to mess my neighbor up. I wouldn't want somebody to do something to me, you know, like that. I want my neighbor to be neighborly. I don't want to do anything to harm her, nor Mr. Hadley. We've jumped through every hoop possible, and, you know, we feel like we have riparian rights to the 3 feet of water. And like I say, I'm getting older. She is, too. She can't line a boat on the trail, and now I can't because I fell cutting grass down a hill. But we want to build a retirement home there, and we want a suitable pier. I wasn't going to bring this up, but to help Mr. Hadley, you know, I don't think he will agree to these either, but it's worth my try. I've got 9 of these. It basically, you're going to pass them around. It basically does away with the catwalk and the 3 outboard pylons. I still want a boat lift. I have to have that. And I would like to have the platform because it's such a long way from our house out to the end of that dock.
And if I can add one other thing, this is a private subdivision. There are only 7 lots. Currently, there's only one person at the opposite end of the cove that's been there probably since about 2005. They've got a covered shed. They've got a boat lift, 100-some-plus-foot dock. There's a second dock in there. There's no house on that lot. The other lots are all, or the remaining lots are open as well. So potentially we still have 3 additional piers that could come before this, if necessary. I'm just stating the facts. So we don't feel like we're asking for anything more than the 3 applicants, 2 of which have built. The third one was just approved 2015 to a property owner that's adjacent, one of the first builders. So they've got a covered boat lift in Zachachuk's with a lift. So, you know, minimally we're trying to satisfy the oyster leases. We're not against commercial fishermen at all. We just want to have a piece of property, waterfront property, that we can enjoy and have good navigable water. So we're trying to do what we can with all the variations back and forth with these.
As far as the oysters, I had nothing to do with Mr. Hadley ever getting his oysters up. I drew up that contract and he signed it. Y'all have a copy of it somewhere. I've got a copy here, but I gave him till July of last summer to get them up. And I would have even waited longer if it had been a problem. You know, I'm a patient person. I'm trying to do the right thing by my neighbor based on the situation we were put in. We'll sit down if y'all have some questions. We'll wait for a rebuttal and try and answer some of those questions.
Maybe a few questions. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Neal.
Out of these things you just gave us, This one here is your preferred?
That I do. I think that is better for Mr. Hadley because it will abandon that whole other pier. It's actually moving it more towards the Zachachuk's lease. It's still, while it's not in hers, it's angling it that direction, which will give him a better arc of that cove to work his oysters.
Mr. Neal, were you referring
to
the second page.
That's the one that I would prefer, and I think it benefits Mr. Hedlund. You know, by abandoning that center one and angling off. But I would be, like I say, I'm willing to do away with the catwalks and the outside, that second outside slip, because, you know, I do have to have a boat lift, and I need a platform on it of some sort to where I can turn a golf cart or a lawnmower or something to haul. It's 500 some feet, you get to turn it in a cool water, you're going to have a heart attack before you even hit the water. So.
Which one is the date? This one?
Other questions from the commission? Thank you. Is there any?
We'll wait for
I just wanted to make sure. That's the one y'all got from February 27th. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one I just gave them this morning.
I just want to make sure.
Gave it to Doug.
Okay.
We'll wait to give a rebuttal if we possibly get it.
Let's see what other testimony we get here.
Thank you.
Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this application? Is there anybody who wishes to testify in opposition?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward.
You've seen me dancing.
Let me swear you in here. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Luther Headley.
Welcome, Mr. Headley.
I'm here on behalf of my brother James. I'm learning some things here this morning. The Sperling property, this is the first time I've ever heard this lady's name be mentioned. Apparently, she has not applied for a doc.
Nope.
Sir. Mrs. Spruill?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Mrs. Spruill has not applied for a doc. So, to me, she's irrelevant in this situation. Now, this gentleman has applied for his original doc, and he just stated that it was only 2.5 feet. Well, I have a drawing that he presented to us, and it states that 100... Can you do this?
Yeah, you sure?
There it is right there. At the end of his dock, he's got 3.1 feet. Now, this was the original 122 feet, I believe. It is. This is what we approved. I'm the one that clears the washed bottom, handles all the oystering for my brother. I cleaned up that area. We cleaned up because of the two docks were being basically simultaneously applied for at the same time. Cleaned them up. This other gentleman went ahead and put his in. This gentleman here had the opportunity to put his in at any time after we had given the right of way that everything was clear. I'm a little confused on some of the comments. It's this gentleman who said that we haven't worked with him. I think we've been over backwards for the gentleman. We went ahead on because the original 100 foot, he agreed on 122, I believe it is, over the 100-foot line. We just decided for that little bit, we weren't going to give him a problem over to allow him to go ahead on and put it in. Now, if you could go back to that other picture of the full docks.
Let me just switch one you want.
Okay, see, that one will do right there.
Yep. Okay.
And we have an arrow. You say I can move around here?
Right here. That the arrow will show up.
Okay. All right, this is the dock that he wants now. And Ms. Zacharias, Joanne is what I call
her. Yeah.
Zagarka. We also leased that bottom from her. And our ground right now, I have oysters that are going to be somewhere, going to cut right across, well, that was quick, right across the end of that dock. I've got oysters all in here, and the oysters continue over. This dock over here comes out to along in here, maybe. If this gentleman wants to move this dock over, that's up to him. I mean, I've got no problem. This other gentleman over here that showed the boathouse a while ago, apparently he moved his with it in it. I wasn't saying anything. I don't know how much follow-up is involved as far as people going back and checking what these people actually do after they put their docks in.
Yeah, we do.
But if he wanted to move that dock over and put a boat ramp, he can go as wide in here as he wants to it on the end of that. But if he comes any further, it's going to be devastating on our ground. It's going to hurt up here vital. I need to circle the boat. You were talking about the boat floating and the oysters under the dock. I can't get to them. We dredge them up. I circle the boat. I've got a line with the dredge on the end of it, 30, 40 yards behind me. I can't get anywhere near anything like that. Now, I can circle around in front of that dock, and if he's held to the original, and like I say, if he wants to move it over for this lady here, that's not my concern. I you know, have no problem. He can come over here as far as he wants, just as long as he doesn't go past it, 122 feet. I think I got a whole lot more I could say, but I think this is going to pretty much cover it for the moment. It cost my brother quite a bit of money to move those oysters for those two docks. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty more docks put down there at some point in time. And, you know, we'll have to deal with that when the time comes. That's pretty much all I got to say at the moment.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Zedrin.
Okay. How far, and I heard what you said, but right there where you're at right now, how much closer, you when you said your oyster's going to come across, it looked like a little bit below that dock head, right?
Mm-hmm.
How far?
Well, took off on me. We've got oysters out in here, all out in here.
Would you have any problem with him coming to the point, say a few feet before where you're going to lay your oysters?
Well, I need my boat's 10 foot wide, 8 foot wide. I've got the dredge off, dredging the angle. You're talking 30, 50, 60 feet back. The dredge is. So to make the big circle, I need some room. I can't put them right up to his dock.
I guess what I'm asking is look at that original pier, and you said you can move it anywhere as long as you don't get into your oyster ground.
Well, as long as he doesn't come further out.
Can he come further out any?
Sir?
Can he come further out any?
No, sir. This has been approved. This is what we approved. He agreed with. This is what he asked for.
One thing I'm looking at is water depth on the right-hand side there. I think what that 122 is, it's got, was that 1.7 feet?
No, the water depth is, at the end of that dock is 3. On high tide is 3.1.
What is that number? Maybe I can't see it. What is that number? See where your 122 is up on that slanted dock?
Here.
And to the right of that, what is that? To the right, right there. What is that?
7.
What?
1.7.
And what does that represent?
I am assuming that's the depth of the water. Is that it?
I believe that to be the mean low water depth.
Yeah.
Mean low water. Okay.
But you realize now, off to the right here, it's a hard bar, and the cove gets deeper in there because it's a mud bottom in there, further back inshore. But
well, would you have a problem with him putting a boat lift there so that, I guess, a mean low water, he ain't got much water there?
If he doesn't proceed more than 122 feet out, he can put his boat ramp in there anywhere he wants to. Like I say, he can angle this dock if he wants to give the other lady room. He can angle it over this way. But here, see, he's got, as I showed here a while ago, he's got 3 feet of water there. When he gets out to the end of this one, he's maybe got 3.5 feet. I believe that's what that's showing. No, that's showing 3 feet right there. So he's not gaining any water depth by coming that further out. He's killing me on my oyster ground.
Mr. Headley, let me make sure that I have this right. You're not caring about what angle this pier takes. You care about how far out it goes.
How far out it comes is our concern. Yes, sir.
That's the heart of the issue for you.
Yes, sir.
Correct. Are there other questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Tank?
How often do you really work this ground, and did you lay out shells, or what are you doing here for your orchard production?
Well, we have a process of spat on shell, which threw Jim Weston starting us into it, involved into it. Originally, we had put shells there, and then we went back and put the spat on shell there. and we had just put them there. They hadn't been there a year. They need to be there at least 2 years. We had to move all those oysters and the shells from the two docks because, believe me, they're not that far apart as far as the boat goes with the surface.
Right. Sure.
I wish I had a little bit better picture, but you do have another one here. That,
Mr. Tankard?
So my follow-up question, your boat that you mentioned, is that a dead rise or a...
Well, it's a 24-foot privateer.
Okay.
Open boat, open, no,
yes,
no
sir.
Cabin or anything.
Mr. Headley, how large is the lease? How many acres do you have there?
It's broke up in lots, different areas. I think there's one piece there. It's 1.7 acres. And then we also lease Joanne's piece and Zachary Cook. I guess that's how you pronounce your name. We lease that also. It's a big area in there. Yeah. And it's not all productive after you get further out. You know, we've got some mud there, but we need to utilize what is good, and we'd be losing a big portion of the good bottom there. We need 3 acres by law of oyster ground to be able to put a dredge on it. So that's just, you know, that's just the way it is.
Any other questions from the commission?
No, sir.
Mr. Tibbs.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on before we go back to you. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in this case, either for or against? All right, Mr. Tibbs. What can you add that's helpful?
My original peer, the lady that works in Northumberland Courthouse in the building and zoning office, I was referred for her to do the plans for that pier. And nothing to shoot her down in, you know, her work or anything. I hired her. She drew up the original plans. I thought she was doing a great job and knew what she was doing, but she was a lady, probably went there at lunchtime, went out with a stick measuring water depth, and she mismeasured the depths of the water
and
the wetlands distance, which created some of this problem we're in now as far as distance of this new proposal. If you'll look right here at the end of that old dot, the original approved pier, Sears 3, which this lady at Northumberland drew up for us, it's only 1.5 foot. The guy that did these plans is a very good engineer. I put my life on anything he ever drew. I mean, he's a retired Army person who did this kind of work in the service, and he's very thorough. He went down and drew these more detailed plans up. And like I say, there's only 1.5 foot of water. My boat draws 3 foot. And over here it's 1.7. If I was to go straight, I can't do it because of the pier that Mr. Roblowski built. If I was to angle anything to get here, you're still in less than 1.7 foot of water. I mean, I've got to have 3 foot. And that's not asking for a lot because... If you look right at the end of the dock, I'd have the stern at this end, which is 3 foot, and have it the bow this away in 2 foot of water. And like I say, in the wintertime, I've seen that northwest wind blow that water all the way up to where you could walk to this point right here. I mean, it's just such a gradual decline in water depth right here, and it goes out that far.
All right, so you're saying you need 3 feet of water in order to get your boat in and out.
Yes, sir.
Correct. And apparently the alignment doesn't much matter to the leaseholder. Does it much matter to you?
I'd prefer the straight shot myself, and I think that it would benefit him because it would open this whole abandoned area. All of this would be opened back up to him. I mean, this whole area. If we were to come in my yard and come straight, it actually is going to come. I'm going to try and draw that being so nervous and wiggling, but it goes straight like this, that straight one. It doesn't go over to her, but it ends like right there and comes straight across the property line into our. If I get a boat lift, if I'm lucky enough to get a boat lift, which I really want, I mean, when you lower those, I was told by the pier builder, when you lower those down, you've got to lower it down and watch what you're doing. If you hit the bottom, it'll unspool all of the cables on it. And it's going to be times when I won't even be able to put the boat back up on the boat unless I get out on a bad wind or something. But I'd have to wait till the next morning and tie it up and be able to put it on high tide.
All right. We think we know what you want. We think we know what you need. We think that we know what the objections are from the leaseholder. Is there anything else pertinent to add before I close the public hearing and the commission's going to make a decision?
No, I just take in consideration what I said about, you know, the distance of that pier and us wanting a platform and the boat lift. I'll sacrifice the catwalk in the outside pier, you know, mooring pylons.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And I thank you for your time today. I didn't want it to come this far. And I especially thank Jeff Madden. And I thank Mr. Headley for their time, too, in trying to resolve this problem.
Mr. Headley, do you have something else to add that's pertinent here that we haven't heard?
I hope it's pertinent, but I wish I had met Mr. Tibbs before he bought this property, because I would have advised him to maybe do his homework a little more and bought a lot that had sufficient water for him.
Okay.
I don't know what he was told when he bought the lot.
Anything else?
But that's it. That's
Thank
it.
You. Is there anybody else who has not testified who wishes to speak to the commission on this matter? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action and for some Solomon-like decisions. Discussion? Mr. Ballard?
I'm not sure how I feel about this, just to kick off the thoughts. I certainly feel for Mr. Headley. There was an approved design, and they moved their oysters at great expense, which is never a good thing to be moving live animals, and seemed to have agreed to what was more than is statutorily authorized, and it was a done deal, and for whatever reason, the plan has changed and is veered to go towards much more productive oyster ground, where he again has to go to the trouble of moving the oysters that the state has given him the right to propagate. At the same time, it does, if the water depths are as shown on the more recent versions, it does appear that the proposed is really the only way to get to 3 feet of water. And I do agree, maybe you could remove the catwalk, but to me a boat lift is minimal encroachment compared to not having a boat lift. So I'm pretty torn on this one. It's a tough one. I feel for both sides of this. And you know, at what point do you say that, yeah, we can't, to get to 3 feet of water, you just can't do that from every property without building a crazy long dock. There are some properties that's just not available for. You know, this, in my mind, isn't that long. We're talking about 185 feet, 6 feet wide. The turns are a little odd, but, you know, there's an area... I'm torn. I wish there was some way that Mr. Headley could be compensated for the extra effort he's going to have to go through if we approved this to remove oysters from that area.
Mr. Packard?
Yeah, I certainly agree with every bit of the sentiments that Mr. Ballard has indicated. I think one of the things that in my mind sticks out is that a couple things. One, the property owner, has a right to wharf out, and he's gone through a pretty significant expense to buy a waterfront lot. Certainly, lease owners of bottom land in our state have rights as well. However, it seems to me that 3 foot's a water depth that is attainable at a reasonable cost, 187 feet of wharf. So I think that the staff has done a pretty good job of minimizing the impact for Mr. Headley. So I, I probably would agree with staff recommendation, but I'd be eager to hear others on the commission.
Mr. Neal?
First, whether you have mooring pilings or a boat lift, I don't see how that's a lot different. And so I would allow a boat lift. I don't know that if anyone is asked of these two drawings, which is the least objectionable to the oyster ground holders. I know they object to both, but...
Well, we can ask that question if you want to ask that question.
Does this matter, one or the other?
Mr. Neal is asking the question. Mr. Headley, do you have a preference?
At that depth, it really doesn't make any difference. Okay. It's going to be that as devastating one way as the other. It really is.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, sir.
I guess I have another question of staff. I think you probably know the answer anyway. If we have to permit something, so we permit it, but then the oyster ground holder, he has a year? He has up to a year to move oysters?
I'm sorry, sir. Would you...
How long does he have to move the oysters once we issue a permit? He doesn't have to move them tomorrow.
No.
It's a year, right?
It's a year.
Yeah.
He can enjoin him for, in 6:30, he can enjoin him for a year to move to animals free of the alignment, 28.2630. Even if we give him a permit, he can adjunct them basically for a year.
Would they potentially be market ready at that point? Or within a year, could they be market ready?
Hard to tell.
It's not only just live oysters, but also with shells that we planted there also. So we're not really, it's live oysters and the shells, the bed that we had created in this area to build it up.
Other discussion? Mrs. Lusk.
I'm having a real hard time with this as well for all the reasons that have been expressed already. One of the things that's weighing on my mind is the sort of the statement that if we do this this pier, that's the preferred pier by the applicant, and the idea that Mr. Healy will be able to use all of this ground. And I think if I'm understanding correctly, the issue with that train of thought is that he's already moved his investment from there. So he had shelled that area. He's moved that. And then if he can't, to reshell that and then to try to navigate his boat in there to make the circles for the dredge, I don't know if we asked him that or not, but is that even a feasible alternative long-term down the road?
Mr. Head?
For him?
I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to on it now. Could you say it again, David?
Would you still be able to work the area that you just moved from?
Well,
I guess is the simplest way to ask it.
We moved the oysters off and cleared the way for him to put the dock in. Where he's wanting to put it at now, we've got oysters and shells there now, so we're going to have to move those also.
Would you be able to, I know this I'm at great expense, but if you moved them back, would you be able to get your boat in there to dredge them up and work
after
that area?
The dock in?
Mm-hmm.
We've lost it all.
Excuse me, I think you're talking about the straight line.
Mm-hmm.
This is a straight line one, not that one.
The straight line one, now the original one, the straight line, even then, I can't know. I won't be able to. If it's too combined, I won't be able to.
So you feel like you'll have lost
the
whole entire thing?
Mm-hmm. And there's one thing, maybe if I'm allowed to make one more observation.
As long as it's pertinent.
Well, when this gentleman bought this lot, I believe you didn't have a boat at the time.
That's not pertinent.
Yeah.
That's not pertinent, Mr. Headley.
Well, it is.
He's got to write under the code the wharf out. That's what the state law is. Whether he had a boat at the time or not, he buys a boat later, he still has to write the wharf out. That's law.
He's got a right now for the wharf.
Correct. Further discussion? Anybody feeling Solomon-like in crafting a path forward here? I'll note that the chair cannot make a motion. Mr. Packer.
For me, I think the staff has a right. This is the least intrusive into the least possible to get to navigable water. I know it's hard to accept, and that I hate seeing these properties dividing these little piecemeal lots that make it so that you've got these configurations like we see here, but, you know, the county of Northumberland has allowed folks to divide up farms like this, and unfortunately, this is what you get when you do that. So I make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Mr. Fowler?
I will second, but ask Mr. Tankard whether he wants to also include a boat lift with the staff recommendation that I don't believe is in there.
No, I didn't include this, the boat lift. I've never understood boat lift, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I can do that. If the commission thinks that's a good thing, I will do that. But I kind of agree with staff's recommendation. It is the least intrusive. So that's
all right.
The way
Let's take this in order so that we don't get ourselves wrapped around the axle here. It's a motion by Mr. Tankard to accept the staff recommendation. Is there a second? Is there a second? Is there a second? The motion fails, Mr. Tankard, for a lack of a second.
It's okay.
Is there a motion? Mr. Ballard.
I move to approve staff recommendation with the addition of two mooring piles and a boat lift, if I'm wording that correctly.
That's a motion by Mr. Ballard to accept the staff recommendation and the inclusion of two mooring pilings and a boat lift.
Second.
It's a second by Mr. Minor. Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
Let's see hands for noes. Noes by Mrs. Lusk and Mr. Tankard. The chair votes aye. This passes 6-2.
Mr. Kagi's going
to... A clarification? Yes.
On the two pilings, are they the two pilings that the lift would be attached to, or are they two separate pilings that the lift would be attached to? Okay, very good.
The motion passes 6-2. And the project is approved per the staff recommendation.